The views given on the following program are not necessarily the views of the station management or staff. Since individual situations can and will be different, please remember this when exercising any options presented by our guests.
Success is equated with excess. The ambition for excess wrecks us. As the top of the mountain becomes the bottom line, where success is equated with excess.
This is Care for My Wealth. With Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, your fee-only investment firm. Now, here's your Care for My Wealth guy, Chris Klein.
This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070 The Game. Of course, hanging out on a Saturday morning with Chris Klein, and Chris comes to us from Capstone Wealth Management. You can hang out with Chris anytime, and you can actually share this program as the podcast of the show on all your favorite platforms. You can also listen back or get caught up if you are on iHeartRadio or iTunes, Spotify. You've got one of those smart speakers that everyone seems to have these days. You can play the program there as well. Follow Chris on Twitter at Care for My Wealth and the website careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. And finally, the most important thing, that is the telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, and you used the word discombobulated this morning. Let's talk a little bit about And it seems like this is what's going on globally, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, probably the biggest thing, Sean, that I think I want to draw everyone's attention to is that everything that is on mainstream media, TV, radio, newspaper, you name it, are all focused on the wrong things. They're focused on the stock market, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is myopically focused on just what's happening in stockland. And I get it, you know, it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where else can you see stuff blow up like that inside of a day? And I do mean that both literally and figuratively. I mean, yesterday, just to give you a couple of quick call outs, and I'll expand on this because there's a couple of things that I think are helpful for people to recognize what is happening in equity space. But I want to talk about currencies in just a moment. But yesterday, for example, Snapchat announced their earnings and it was a disaster. Stocks down 30%. And that's on top of last quarter where their EPS announcement was a disaster and the stock was down 39%. You know, and also this last week, everyone's beloved Tesla announced their earnings. It's just terrible. It was just nothing great about it. You know, people say all the time to me, Chris, come on, seriously, how low can it go? I said, well, what you really need to do, if you really truly want to try and understand that, when you're in the midst of a very brutal bear market that's controlled by high inflation and all sorts of things that are problematic because of what's happening in currency space, you have to study mean reversion. And if you understand mean reversion and you start to look at some of these, some pictures of some of these companies, you'll start to understand that when I say, think of whatever your worst case scenario is and double it, you'll come to start to understand why that's not such a crazy comment. I commented to a friend of mine this past week who has forever been very bullish on Tesla. And I get it. I mean, you know, Elon Musk is a salesman extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he used the term, you know, like a P.T. Barnum sort, but not to take away his genius. I mean, look, I get it. The guy's super brilliant. He's probably forgotten more about everything on his way to the bathroom than I'll ever know in my life. And, you know, that's fine. But I do understand mean reversion and I do understand how markets function. And I do understand that when you have a situation like what we're dealing with on an economic scale, not just here domestically, but more importantly, globally, you function within the lens of how that mean reversion can take place. And in Tesla's case, just as an example, if you start to consider mean reversion studies on Tesla and you look at where the possibility is that this stock could very easily go to, the number is somewhere between like 36 and 55. Now, to give you context for anyone who doesn't follow Tesla, it traded yesterday at about 210, 211. Now, that's also down, just also in context, that's also down from its peak in November. This is split adjusted, by the way, of about 414. Now, people will look at that and say, oh, man, Tesla, greatest company ever. It was at 414 bucks split adjusted in November. It's at 210 now. Goodness gracious, that's like 50%. It's got to be a buy. And here I come along saying, well, mean reversion suggests you could see 36 to 55. People get crazy over that, right? Yeah. Because they just don't understand the mathematics behind mean reversion and what happens in the midst of a difficult cycle like what we're in. So then yesterday, what do you get? You get some news on the glorious Tesla that says, hey, U.S. officials, specifically in the Biden administration, are discussing whether or not maybe they should, you know, look at some of Elon Musk's ventures a little bit more closely as it relates to, quote, national security. Uh-oh. Yeah, right. Including the Twitter deal, because he's got foreign investors coming in, SpaceX and the Starlink network situation, because he stopped supplying some of the Starlink satellite service to Ukraine. And of course, that made people in the White House all freaked out and upset. Point is that when you're in quad four, right? So growth decelerating on the margins, inflation decelerating, but mostly that growth scenario just continuing to decelerate. Bad stuff happens after bad stuff has already happened. And that's what I mean by this particular instance with Tesla. It's that, okay, look, yeah, a lot of bad stuff has already happened in terms of the way in which their earnings have come out, but it's not over. This is the first quad four for the quarter. We got two more to go. And if people think the Q3 earnings are bad, i.e. Snapchat is just one particular example. There's certainly many more this past week that look terrible. Tenet Healthcare is another one. Tesla, obviously, I've mentioned that. You get a situation where all of a sudden the bad news starts to really roll out afterwards. But if they think Q3 earnings are bad, wait until Q4 when you're comping against the November peak of quad two from last year. And that's the understanding of mean reversion, mathematical equations as it relates to how the acceleration or deceleration, the rate of change math, all affects the value of markets. And if you're a company and you had really amazing earnings getting announced last year in November, because that was the peak, that means you're comping against a really, really strong number and you're highly likely to have a deceleration come out in Q4. Q4 doesn't get announced until Q1 next year, just like Q3 is being announced here in Q4 this year. My point is that you've got this situation with the stock market where everybody is focused on the expectation and belief that, oh my goodness, it looks like it's bottomed. And it looks like it's bottomed because, oh, hey, it went up on a week over week basis. Okay, fine. Maybe it went up on a week over week basis, but is that the end of the bear market? Is the Federal Reserve just now automatically going to say, no, all that rate hike stuff, we're just kidding. We're not going to do any more of that. Sean, even if they did, people forget that when the Fed stops raising rates, number one, that's not cutting rates. And number two, when they do cut rates, it actually gets worse. Because the market wakes up and goes, oh, whoa, it must be really bad if the Fed's cutting rates. I know that is a little bit counterintuitive to some who might be listening for the very, very first time. But what I want everyone to focus on and understand is that right now, what's controlling the movement of everything isn't Elon Musk. It's not Tim Cook with Apple. It's not Microsoft. It's not Snapchat and terrible earnings or anything else like that. It's the dollar. It's the U.S. dollar. The dollar is the most persistent bullish trend anywhere of anything. And when you look at currencies and how they trade, it just gives you a much, much better picture and a much clearer picture without all of this fear of missing out of the next bull market garbage, because that's what's happening. People are getting this fear of missing out of the next bull market in stocks. And they start rolling these ridiculous narratives around about, oh, hey, the Fed's not going to raise rates by 75 basis points. It's only going to be 50. It's still a rate hike. The market's pricing in an additional 5.7 hikes to go. That's like another 1.5%. So even if they only did 50 basis points at this next meeting, which I think is goofy, I think it's going to be 75, maybe even more. That's not stopping. That's still tightening into an economic slowdown, into the throes of the worst portion of the comps, because November was the peak last year. And when you have a peak that you're comping against, the deceleration gets steeper. The rate of change gets deeper. And that's what everybody misses, right? That's what everybody misses. So I sit here and I look at what's happening with currency. I look at what's happening with the US dollar. And the first thing I say is, man, I'm super thankful that we actually are the world's reserve currency, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of benefit that comes to that. Call it lucky, call it whatever you want. It is what it is. You know, and if we think about how the dollar and its breakout, I mean, let's face it, it's up over 18% so far just this year. If all you did was buy the US dollar index and literally do nothing else, you'd be having an amazing year. Mm-hmm. Which, if, as you remember, back in December, January, I was telling people that own 401ks that don't have a lot of great choices in the midst of a difficult bear market, just sit in cash. Just sit on the sidelines, let this thing blow by and wait. I know it's hard. Don't get impatient. Don't get fear of missing out. We call it FOMO. Mm-hmm. Just wait. And for those that did, I know they're super excited and happy about it. Well, it's not over yet. So just continue to wait. But we have to think about what the impact is on the international side of things as it relates to currencies. And in this case, specifically the US dollar, simply because we are the world's reserve currency, and it has an impact as these values of the dollar continues to break out higher. It has a very, very large impact on, as we talked last week, mortgages. So last week, I mentioned that the 30-year mortgage is kind of an aberration here of the U.S. That's not the international norm. Mm-hmm. In fact, the norm is that you get the benefit, or in this case, the very, very bad environment of having to reset your mortgage every 3 to 5 years. And it's coming into this situation where a number of mortgages in the UK and Europe in general are resetting, and they just happen to be resetting at the highest rates that they've seen in decades. Mm-hmm. And it also happens to be happening at a time where the cost of living happens to be the highest they've seen in decades. That's a really bad combination. So when you consider what's happening in terms of yields and their impact on mortgages, the cost of living, real wages, again, going down because of what happens to currencies on an international scale, right? I mean, international scale, you look at the pound, you look at the euro, you look at the yen, they're just getting body bagged because the dollar keeps going up. It's strong. And yeah, sure, you might get a 1 or a 2 or a 3 day pullback. And as that happens, in terms of the US dollar, that is, the stock market goes up. Why? Because they're inversely correlated. Whatever the dollar does, the stock market's going to pretty much do the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody gets excited because they see the stock market up for the week.
Sure, oh, yeah.
This is it.
It's over.
I got to buy. It's right. It's over. I got to buy. You know, and then the next thing you know, the currencies continue to do what they have been doing, and that is have a very persistent bullish trend. They go back up, and those people that bought the dip, that of course is not a dip, get body bagged again. And that's what I've been trying to warn people on for obviously several months now, is that, look, this is not an environment where you buy the dip. You have to control yourself and stay away from buying what you think the dip is, because the people on TV are jumping up and down and telling you it's over. This is it. This is the most awesome thing ever. It's not. You have to recognize that if you really want to understand what's going on in markets, do two things. One, understand movement of currency. And number two, understand mean reversion. And if you did that, you would get a much clearer picture on why we keep saying this thing isn't over yet. And if you did that, then you'd come to understand rate of change as it relates to earnings and revenues, specifically as they make up for companies inside indexes. And then on top of that, obviously, the change or rate of change math that goes on with earnings and revenues for the indexes as a whole, right? You get a S&P 500 earnings estimate, which, by the way, do you remember like maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months ago, we kept talking about, you know, everybody in the analyst community keeps saying that, hey, the S&P is going to have for 2022, 10-11% earnings numbers on the upside. And we said, that's crazy.
I remember.
You're comping against the greatest numbers ever. You're going to get a deceleration. Yeah, well, no, that's not happening. I mean, right now, I think as earnings have been announced so far, right? And obviously, there's quite a bit of earnings that yet have to come in. Earnings growth so far for only 92 of the 500 S&P 500 companies that have announced is a negative 1.84%. That's nowhere near a positive 10%, right? And so that rate of change math manifests itself in the movement of stock prices. And I say all this, Sean, because I know that there are a number of people who I know have been listening for a number of weeks and months and have perhaps been confused on, well, how did you have an understanding that the depth of this bear market could be as bad as what it's showing? Mm-hmm. And again, it comes down to an understanding on a company by company, sector by sector, and then market by market understanding of rate of change as it comps against its quarter over quarter and year over year data. And if you do that, you could see that last year it was the bubble of all bubbles because of what had happened with all the monetary stimulus that came piling into the system. And of course, all the stock price movement that occurred because of the acceleration in earnings at the time. And now it's just the opposite of that, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, a really good example real quick, and I know we're probably got to take a break. When we come back, I'll get deeper into helping everybody understand the value of the focusing on currencies right now. And in doing that, helping you to better position yourself over the next 3 to 6 months with respect to your portfolio or retirement plan or whatever it might be. And the point there obviously is that we've got this situation in the landscape of earnings, right? Where that deceleration is just bigger than what people could have understood at the time because they weren't looking at it from a rate of change basis.
Really?
Right? That's the key.
Really good stuff. And we'll talk about the value of focusing in on those currencies. We'll get the details from Chris. We will do that next. In the meantime, if you haven't been to the website yet, get there now. careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Or again, pick up the phone, give Chris a call. Telephone number 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. More information, you can email Chris, info@careformywealth. That's info, I-N-F-O, at careformywealth.com. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management next as Care for My Wealth continues here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game, hanging out this Saturday morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. Don't forget, you can follow Chris on Twitter at careformywealth.com. You can learn more about Capstone Wealth Management, Chris and the team there, all online at careformywealth.com. And the telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Left off talking about specifically the U.S. dollar, bullish on the U.S. dollar. And Chris, you kind of teased us before the break about the value of focusing in on currencies.
Yeah. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that the entire world right now anyway is functioning on one trade. Mm-hmm. And what I simply mean by that is that the U.S. dollar is the kingpin in the entire environment of everything. And when I mean everything, I mean equities, rates, of course, currencies, commodities. And it's simply because there are very deep embedded inverse correlations with almost all of those asset classes to the U.S. dollar, simply meaning that whatever the dollar does in terms of price change, those markets are going to pretty much do the opposite. So mm-hmm. if the dollar goes down, you'll find in this instance that, you know, the S&P, for example, would go up. Mm-hmm. And you saw that on display yesterday. If you want to take a look or a picture at the dollar being down, the stock market was up. And if you go back and kind of look over a day by day by day by day basis, I mean, you'd see that when the dollar was up, the market was down, and in most cases, vice versa. So that's what I mean by the market functioning as one trade right now, right? The difference is that currencies carry with them massively less volatility than the stock market and way less than the bond market. I mean, goodness gracious, the bond market volatility metric is through the roof. And, you know, that makes sense. I guess if you took a look at yields, like, you know, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield got as high yesterday as 4.3%, 4.308 to be exact. That's pretty high when you consider that on the 1st of August, it was, you know, down at like 2.6%. And then if you look around at things that impact people, I think I saw for the first time in, oh gosh, I can't even remember how long, I'd have to go back and check my notes, but 30-year mortgages topped 7%. I thought I saw 7.22 being offered in a couple of instances. The dollar has a huge impact on everything happening financial right now, right? And I'm not going to get into all the details of the interconnectedness on a global scale of what's happening with respect to the dollar, but, you know, at the end of the day, the dollar impacts international trade, capital financial accounts, localized inflation. In other words, as I had mentioned in this last segment, other currencies like the pound, the euro, and the yen, which are the three big ones, those keep getting smashed because the dollar keeps going up. And if you get paid in pounds, yens, or euros, well, then your purchasing power is getting smashed, right? Mm-hmm. That's bad for obvious reasons. You know, nobody wants to see the value of what you get paid in continue to go down. So we've got this situation where I think what is easy for most people to miss is the extent of the amount of debt that is dollar denominated that exists in the world today. I think sometimes people tend to think of, okay, well, yeah, the United States has a debt, and that debt is them issuing treasury bonds. Mm-hmm. Well, those treasury bonds get bought by all sorts of people and all sorts of different walks of life, not to mention pension plans and hedge funds and 401ks and all that stuff. But they're also bought by foreign countries, right? Mm-hmm. That's important to recognize, because right now, if we took a look at the total value of foreign dollar denominated debt, it's $13.4 trillion. Now, that's a difficult number to comprehend. I mean, anyone that's listening, you know, punch into your calculator 13.4 trillion. It's a lot of zeros. Yes. It's a ginormous, ginormous number. But let's take it a step further and just kind of contextualize it as it relates to how that is viewed in GDP terms, right? Mm-hmm. In the U.S., that's about 64% of our GDP. In China, that's 91% of their GDP. Holy smokes. They're the second largest economy or in that range that's out there. Eh. So they say, I don't know. I can't believe anything that they tell us. And oh, by the way, they pulled guidance. They, like, for the first time that I can remember, they just decided to not report something here this last week.
What?
It's something important. Yeah, yeah, right. So, you know, what do? You sit back and go, all right, well, all I know is that their stock markets continue to trade, bearish trend, and they don't look good. So when they do certain things and move up, I guess it's time to short them some more. But at any rate, take it one step further, and you look at the market cap of the S&P 500, which is ginormous, right? Mm-hmm. 13.4% or $13.4 trillion of foreign dollar denominated debt. That represents 42% of the S&P and 254% of the FANG companies, right? Facebook, which of course is now Meta, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, all the big tech names. That dollar denominated debt is 254% of their market cap. Now people say, well, who cares? Because when it comes time for that dollar denominated debt to get paid, which it has to be paid, otherwise a nation, a company, a country, a sovereign wealth fund, they go into default. And that's usually not a good thing, because that then requires the government of that entity or that nation or that country to, you know, kind of fix the problem, which could include printing currency to pay off the debt in their local currency. And, well, that's a problem because that just creates more inflation. Mm-hmm. it's this negative feedback loop that we've talked about a few weeks ago. And anyone that wants to learn more about that, just, you know, go look through some of our podcasts over the last month and you'll find us talking about negative feedback loops as it relates to what's happening in the currency market. So I just can't stress enough how important the fact that there is that much dollar denominated debt in the system is that helps support the value of the dollar, not just in current terms, but in a bullish trend. And that bullish trend continues and is very persistent. And that bullish trend is what is in fact causing all of these other asset classes to get completely obliterated. Look at bonds. You know, it wasn't too long ago that U.S. Treasuries were viewed literally as the safest thing on the planet. Mm-hmm. Buy a U.S. Treasury. It's safe. You don't have to worry about your money, blah, 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 right? That was always the way in which things spoke. They built funds off of the fact that treasuries were super safe. And they built them on what are called risk parity. We're going to get 60% stock, 40% bonds, right? Whatever the mix might be. Stocks go up, bonds go down a little. Stocks go down, bonds will stay up. Eh, you'll be fine. You won't get killed. Okay, that's great until this year. Because now when you take a look at what's happening with U.S. treasuries in general, and you got to look across the yield curve, you know, 2s, 5s, 7s, 10s, 30s, all that sort of stuff. If you look at just long-term treasuries, which are tending to what get built inside these risk parity models, mm-hmm. year to date, a 20 plus year U.S. treasury is down 36.8%. Now let that sink in for just a second. 36.8%. Let's compare that to the NASDAQ, just, you know, as an example, right? Or maybe just even the NASDAQ 100, the 100 largest companies. Year to date, the NASDAQ 100 is down 31.4%. Oh my goodness, you mean that treasuries are down more than high-flying tech companies? Well, yeah, they are. I don't know that people recognize that was the case. Now, I know that we've talked a lot about how yields have been in a bullish trend. And when yields are in a bullish trend, prices of bonds are just not good. It's not a great place to be. It's not a good place to hide. And everything that's happening right now is just the bond market telling you, look, there's an inflation problem and it's not stopping. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned before how the bond market's trading like inflation will never come down, which of course, at some point it will. As I mentioned, we probably have seen peak inflation, you know, when it came out at that 9 level, but it's just not going to go down very much. It's going to remain sticky high because of the way they calculate it. The cost of oil, owner equivalent rent, food at home. I mean, all of these are really big components of how they calculate the whole world of CPI. And let's face it, they're just not coming down that much, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to think about what is propping up the value of the dollar, and it's more than what people think. Much of it, as I mentioned, this dollar-denominated debt that exists on a global scale, so they're starving for dollars. These countries can't get their hands on enough dollars. And so the more demand you have, obviously, for something, the more value that it tends to push it up. So, you know, if you think about just emerging market economies, you know, like just the little guys, they're sitting on over $4 trillion of dollar denominated debt. Wow. That type of debt gets easier to pay when a country's currency appreciates versus the dollar. That's not happening. It gets super, super hard for them to pay, you know, when a local currency depreciates against the dollar, which is exactly what's been happening. So again, to the main point, everyone wants to focus on the stock market. And I would encourage you to not get overly focused on the stock market, because the stock market isn't the tell. The tell is what is happening in currencies and in rates. Those two things give you a much, much better picture of what's happening and likely to happen in the stock market, which then, of course, will help you with regards to maybe your 401k or other things like that. Because as I've said before, Sean, and I have to say it again and again, I'm yet to find a 401k mm-hmm. that has any, and I mean any, good choices except for cash in the midst of an inflationary bear market. They're just not built that way.
Talking this morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. If you're looking at your 401k and going, oh, what can I do? Chris could love to help you. If you've got that investments and you're looking to, of course, work with Chris, the Go Anywhere strategy, as we talk about how active he is and monitoring this stuff day in and day out, he would love to do that for you. It all starts with a stop at careformywealth.com, or even better, pick up the phone, give Chris a call this morning, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. And again, the telephone number, 866-596-9886. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management next as Care for My Wealth continues right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. Great website if you haven't checked it out yet. You find Capstone Wealth Management online, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Again, great resource there. Their telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You can also email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. And follow Chris at Care for My Wealth on Twitter. And Chris, we were talking during the break there, and I said, you know, to some degree, I think for a lot of folks, they start to feel all hope is lost. They feel the game is rigged, that the power players, the politicians, the billionaires, all these, the talking heads on TV are all conspiring against them. And you made a great point, which is it is probably the case, and there are ways to work against it knowing that information.
Yeah, yeah. It, to some extent, it is rigged, you know, and I say that in a way that probably needs some explanation. So if you look at the three biggest dealers in the options market out there, you've got Goldman Sachs, Citadel, and Susquehanna. These guys control the functioning of the options market, which frankly controls the movement of so much happening in the stock market. Yesterday was options expiration, right? Okay. Yep. $370 billion of notional option value expired. Now that sounds like a lot, right? Yeah. It's actually the lowest value since June of 2020.
Oh, really? Okay.
We've had as high as $1.4 trillion expire within the last month. The system has rigging going on inside of it, especially when you think of the amount of insidiousness that occurs on public television, cable TV, newsletter writers, and these kinds of things that are attempting to move a book by telling people, you know, buy. And they don't give you any explanation of any macro framework, right? They're telling me to buy something in the midst of an inflationary bear market. What are you telling me to buy? I mean, how many times have you heard someone on pick a network say, hey, you should just simply buy the US dollar? I honestly would challenge anyone who's a longtime watcher of these networks to tell me when anyone who's been a guest on those networks has told you that.
Never, yeah.
They're not going to tell you that because their job is to sell you stock, regardless of what the macro framework might look like. When's the last time somebody got up there and said, you know, because the dollar is so strong, you probably should pair that trade along with a short euro, short yen situation too. I've never heard anybody really talk about that, at least not in those forums, in those contexts. All I ever hear is how people should just be buying NVIDIA. Oh, it's so low. You should be buying, you know, pick a name, Twitter, Tesla, Snapchat. I don't know, right? None of that takes into consideration the macro framework. We've said before, if you don't do macro, macro is going to do you. You have to understand the platform from which the market functions. It's called the process. And the process simply starts and ends with a way in which to understand whether or not growth and inflation is accelerating or decelerating. If you have a framework that can help you understand if either of those are happening, it'll then help you get in front of the people who are rigging the market. Guess who's rigging the market? The Fed. Mm-hmm. The global central banks, because they're the ones that control the movement of monetary policy. Well, guess what? They don't move monetary policy until there's a big enough rate of change in both growth and inflation. And we've seen that play out over the last 2 years. Shoot, we've been talking about it nonstop. We talked about it nonstop when we said, hey, look, this inflation thing, this is not transitory. This is going to be a problem. And what did you, what did we talk about in June of 2020? You probably should be buying commodities. I mean, we talked about that for weeks. And then it got to the point where the rate of change math started to give you an indication that, hey, look, this whole commodity thing looks like it could be shifting here. And probably might want to unwind some of those commodity trades. The whole idea is that if you have a process and a platform by which to understand the rate of change of both growth and inflation, you can front run the riggers. You can front run the policymakers. And if you can stay in front of the policymakers, well, now all of a sudden, you know how to play the game, right? The whole idea of being able to understand how to be a great investor is how to, within that framework, simply do that. Is growth accelerating or decelerating? Is inflation accelerating or decelerating? If we know that either of those two things are happening, we already know what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And then we know what we should do, because guess what? If they're tightening monetary policy, raising interest rates, taking money off their balance sheet, we know that that's just not good for risk assets. And we know that that's going to result in a change in volatility, which is going to result in a change negatively in price. And when that happens, you roll into a bear market. And the longer that occurs, that trend becomes persistent. The trend of the bear market for the Nasdaq, the S&P, the Dow, the Russell 2000 are all very persistent right now, in so much as the trend in a bullish fashion for the dollar is very persistent. It's understanding that stuff that helped us to help you in January of, hey, guess what? The S&P 500 just rolled into a bear market, and it was January 19th, because I sit and look at my notebook and that's what it tells me. That's how we helped you to understand it was happening. It was not magic. It was simply a function of understanding rate of change of growth and inflation, and then understanding where the policy was going to go. You can't rely on any of these politicians. Shoot, they came out here recently and said, well, we're not going to address this whole, you know, thing about politicians being able to trade until after the election.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Of course not. Yeah. How precious. Good for you. You know? Meanwhile, everybody else who has a 401k with no ability to do anything that is specifically bear market related, I mean, you go through all the funds that exist in a 401k today, and they're all correlated to the S&P. They do the same thing. Bonds, well, okay, good luck with those. We just talked about how the U.S. Treasury 20-year plus maturities are down 36% on the year. At some point, buying a U.S. Treasury is going to be the greatest trade in the history of mankind. I mean, it's going to provide some generational opportunities for some growth in a portfolio. People say, from a bond? Yeah, from a bond. That's exactly right. It's not here yet because inflation is still not done in terms of what the bond market sees. So what do we got? Yields are ripping. They're ripping here. They're ripping globally. And they're continuing to rip globally because central banks over there keep tightening to try and fight the inflation. Meanwhile, they got to pay off $13 trillion of U.S. dollar denominated debt for which they don't have enough dollars for. Mm. It's causing all sorts of stresses in the plumbing of the financial systems of these international countries, of big countries too, you know, not just Europe and Italy and places like that. But all the periphery countries, Argentina, Chile, Mexico, Colombia, you know, right on down the line. Turkey just cut interest rates. So, oh, hallelujah, their stock market's actually doing pretty well. It's bullish trade and trend. I don't know that I would suggest you go out and buy Turkey today. But, you know, hey, look, if you are really interested in investing internationally, Turkey's probably the best spot. And what we have right now, just to end this, is we've got treasury yields officially above the 2008 high. We've got mortgage demand at a fresh 25-year low, housing prices falling at the fastest rate since 2011, inflation coming up towards 10% for the entire year, two back-to-back quarters of GDP that are straight down, and we're going to end up with a third for sure, but yet no one in government's acknowledging that, hey, we're in a recession. Look, there's no debate. We're in a recession. It's just the way it is. And stock market prices still have to manifest and reflect what that ultimately looks like, because these earnings numbers that we're seeing out there are going to get revised a lot lower than what people think. That manifests in lower stock prices. Maybe not next week, because if the dollar goes into a short-term counter-trend move, yeah, the stock market's going to go up during that time because of the negative correlation. But the dollar's going to win. And that means the stock market, until that correlation breaks, is going to lose. And when it breaks, I'll let you know.
You'll be tuned in right here to Care for My Wealth. Even better, you'll be working with Chris, and you will know right away. You'll get your daily email, and, of course, you can always call him. Best way to do to start that conversation is to give Chris a call this morning, 866-596-9886. Again, the telephone number, 866-596-9886. You get the phone number and more information all online as well, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. And again, the telephone number, 866-596-9886. Chris, it's always informative. It's always a great conversation. You enjoy this beautiful weekend, and we'll do it all again real soon.
You too. Go outside and get a suntan.
Exactly. I'll take it. This is Care for My Wealth right here, Fox Sports 1070, The Game.